Midnight Isle. I shored my vessel to a nightmare, for after the torments of my crossing, I was by then only thinly whole. My boat was in truth little more than a stinking and tarry basket, at her kindest reckoning, fit surely for less than one soul's occupancy. And yet somehow this wicker nest of filth had brought me here, to an island I guessed, one of the scattered few yet also numberless rocks amongst the abandoned ocean edge that marks the savage north of what is considered most kindly or even just. Fully awake to new life yet also peril, I fell to my broken feeling knees on the moonlit shale. A scrawn-suited monster of brine, damaged blood and sun-broken skin. You see, the hardships of my passage had twisted my spine, then wrung out my body's very marrow and the deepest chambers of my spirit. I have my reasons to abide within the tides of this far dark sea, but the days of my exile are often as ferocious cruel that my every choked gasps defy the order of stars and time, as surely as there can be no reason to such torment, surely too there can be no reason to my living at all. And yet there is this. The beach is lit by stars and the rocks sting and bite at the flesh of my hands. No sound is mine but the deaf rattle in my throat. As I said, I should not live. Starved and broken, I should wither as starved and broken. And yet I am sprawled on this unkind bed of rock, the fine ground grains as if of more innocent days, passing between the claw tips of my shaking fingers. Yes, some small spark still burns either from within or without. For without is for me where all God's mercy lies. Without him, without my lands, without my people. But at last I had found salvation, although the air here was very strange to me. Not the rain meadowy sweetness of the Angles shore, or the chillier mineral breeze of the Norselands. Rather, I sniff at a burnt peat trace, and behind that, a little of the supper fires, the dried fish and people and babies and ancestors. Fisher folk, I imagined, and they were before that. Who knows? Indeed, I guessed that this was an island. It seemed to occupy such a space beneath the sky. An island is special like that. It is a realm of the eternal and a little closer, perhaps, to what lies behind where the heavens should sing, silent and hidden. An island points to our truth, that we are ever to walk in the darkening season of all that is unknown. But my mind should not wander so, for I am a beggar, not a cleric. My food should be food and not thought. I needed food and fresh water, and here fate had cast me well. I was exhausted, yet alive to all possibility of fortune. From the smoke scent, I imagined that this beach was near a settlement, and that all there would be sleeping now. I stumble to my feet, and already I am listening for docks. Not all folk have them, and some peoples of the further enclaves have not even seen a dog, or know that despite the creature's eyes, those prisons, the apparition is not a man transformed, laid low. So I walk slowly, shakily, up from the beach toward the starlit headland. Above the sea sound, I listen for all that might bait this lost and shabby sun. I soon came to the village. Low stone hovels cast companionable by moonlight. That smoky smell was everywhere, but the fires seemed still now. I hear a baby wailing within one of those abodes, but no dogs. I guessed that a few families lived here, no more than 50 souls. They will keep their goods close to where they sleep, along with fermented goods and the bones of their ancestors. I should tread carefully, or maybe wait till morning and make an honest approach. If I did not have this face and other distinguishing characteristics, I would be as an honest wayfarer and barter to work in exchange for my meal and some drink. But I knew I looked a ghoul, and I would not speak their tongue. I belonged to the night watchers and should always do my business there. I should steal from these poor and no doubt pious folk and hope to be away long before the dawn. That would be the gentlest path between us. As silent as I can creep and skid down the grassy side of one small dwelling, listening for the honk and murmur of beasts, suddenly my senses are overwhelmed by a sharp yet somehow delicious stink. What are they making here? Through the violence of such goodness, my gut clenches in anticipation. I would be delighted to retch up on such rich flesh and then feast on the cheese that I know is being seasoned here. This would be enough. I would sack this dairy and then go. Water I could find somewhere else. I hear a voice, small and sharp, from within the larder house. A woman. I cannot understand her words, but the intent behind them is half-humoured, a mix of challenge and delight. As a stranger to this island night, I have stumbled upon a lover's mystery. Unsure what to do and thinking mainly of my prize, I make myself still, and as I had amongst so many people before, I feel small and I feel weak. For all my life, I have been a stranger to such warm musics as hers. So I am still. And I listen, and I then am asleep. A sharp prod to my side awakens me, and then I am looking up at a night-lit man and a woman, towering above me, titans to the stars. They smile and laugh, and I fear that the man will beat me with the heavy stick that he holds. But instead, the woman looks over at another, more distant sound and nudges the man, and they then quickly move on as one, while beckoning to unseen others and let me be. I say nothing, thanking their mercy, as I again close my eyes. The morning is a grey sea mist that I do not join. I hear the voices of all, men and women and the young ones too. Still, I cannot move. It feels that my walk from the beach to these small dwellings had all but finished me. The day passes, and I suck for a little of the mist moisture that settles on my skin. as the day fades and is gone, a man comes to me. He is another, not the fellow from before, and he has no stick, but rather a jug. Crouching beside me, he offers fresh water, and I sip meekly, because I am too weak to grab and take it all. Still, this water is a goodness that seems to fill me with light. And still later, another man comes with a little salt fish, and I nibble this slowly, and it is as if a new day is already opening within me. That night, there are torches and faces all around me, and I am strong enough now to sit up a little. They ask questions, but all I know is that these are questions. I do not understand the words, although I do hear a word that is like Norse, and I am too wise to respond to that. Then they show me my little boat. It must have been easy for one of these men to carry here, for I can see that these are all solid, tall fellows. The islanders cleaned and relined my mean little vessel. They laugh at my astonishment, as if I was but a child being shown a new toy. Then the woman who I remember from my first night feeds me cheese and more salt fish and fermented milk that the locals have already enjoyed, for they are somewhat disguised by drink. I sleep then in a warm hovel, I know not whose. In the morning, all, or as many of the people there as I imagine the settlement has, lead me back to the beach. There are a few sights for me on the way. I pass a mound of six adult bodies that have been burnt to bones, and where little children are happy to piss as the parents laugh. I pass a carpentry gang at work on the already cut beams of a boat. It is clearly Norse, and I see its pagan dragon prow now smashed, and I know that these people will build and not sail with that wood. Then I see the skulls and rotten armour of the six raiders that have been piled till a good use can be found. What had happened here? Had my presence somehow warned these folk of the attack and they had caught the Norsemen unawares, then slaughtered them? I think yes. For these islanders are formidable men, and I know that the reputation of some warriors is built as much on surprise than as a reality of their strength in arms. Certainly, I am being treated very well. They knew I was not of these Norse men, but something other, something more frail and strange. A sign, perhaps, if not a wonder, as a tiny omen of what can befall, and an omen that had been so clearly acted upon. For there at the beach, they fill my small boat with water skins and generous rations of salt fish. They show that my small sail is mended and that all is well. The edge of the sea and the edge of the sky are, for just that moment, a stillness and perfect. A glassy path to anywhere you could dream. Belly full and thirst slaked, My thoughts are no longer on philosophies of sky and ravings of some god whose face cannot be known, nor angelic host without a mind to fight. I understand what I must do now. I nod my thanks, but still meet no eye. I have saved these folks, and they have made good their bargain with the fates. They will use the enemy's boat to make a smokehouse, and the enemy's old armour will be used for repairs and maybe even charms. And I shall row my way away from this shore under the eye of a fresh risen sun, having survived, maybe, a little longer than their foe. I wonder at mercy, and know that for me, between the silvery ocean sky and the jade lap of a celestial tide, mercy, there is ever none. And yet, the seas are pretty, and we sail.